This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Thanksgiving Eve edition of the Boneyard. This is your fourth show of the week, and you're going to get one more after this. I wanted to get this up pretty early because I know some of you are going to be driving today. I thought, you know what, let's just go and get this done, right? And working on a series of articles, too. Maybe you've seen the first couple, but I'm basically writing about every Egg Bowl that's ever happened, even like the rivalry games before we had a trophy, you know, prior to 1927. And so as I sit and record this, the articles Egg Bowl, the Early Years, and Egg Bowl, the Roaring Twenties, already published. By the time we get done, the Dirty Thirties will be out. And so going through every Egg Bowl, kind of bringing out a few nuggets here and there, and learning a lot myself. And this is something that I've always wanted to do, right? Just to do like a retrospective of the entire rivalry. And so making all that free. And even if you're not a member of Gene's Page, you can read that, but you should be. We're running 75% off the annual subscription price right now. Yeah, just for a few more days, but 75% off. Give yourself the gift of the Gene's Page, the greatest coverage that Mississippi State has ever seen. Come be a member with us over at Gene's Page. And so be a busy day here, and then we will make the trip south. And go spend time, break bread with friends and family. We're not going to be content deprived on Turkey Day at Gene's Page. No, it's the day before the day, right? But you're going to get your double-digit stories out of us today and tomorrow, then, of course, into game day on Friday. Big Friday in Starkville. We're going to break that down for you today. The top 10 list today will not be music-related, as you guys know. It's Thanksgiving time, so we got to talk about some other stuff. So there will be no top 10 music list today, but there will be a top 10 list today. No matter where you are in the world, I hope that you have a great Thanksgiving. I think that's one of the most important things that we do as a people, is we get together and we celebrate the things that we're grateful for in our lives. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in our final segment. But I want to thank all of you for being here. I'm very grateful for each and every one of you. And I hope that harm is far away from you and everyone you love. And I've spent the last couple days, too, kind of checking on some people. You know what I mean? It's like I don't know. I mean, like my wife tells me all the time that I have such a heart for other people. And I love to be viewed in that lens. But I've just checked on some people. Like just yesterday, there was a handful of people I hadn't heard from in a while, you know, and one person in particular, like I hadn't seen them post much on socials, and then they posted something and I was like, hey, I'm glad to see you post. We hadn't talked in a while. I just wanted to check in on you and see how you are. There have been times in my life, and as I've shared with you guys before, that Thanksgiving has always been a big deal in my family. You know, some people like Christmas is the big holiday. In my family, Thanksgiving has always been a holiday because everybody comes home. And I spent Thanksgiving, 1991, basically, you know, holed up with, you know, a female acquaintance. And everybody else went home for Thanksgiving. And my car had quit on me, and I'd kind of quit on myself. And that was one of the low points for me. Like, I was in rehab not too long after that. But that was a difficult time for me. And nobody would come get me. Like, nope, I couldn't get a ride home, even though I was in Hattiesburg, just 30 minutes away from all the festivities. Nobody in my family was willing to come get me. And even to this day, that hurts. But it was a necessary pain that led to change within my life. And so I share that with you because there are people within your friend and family group that you know that are struggling a little bit. And some are struggling a lot. And I would just encourage you, check on them. Check on them. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You need to check on them. And don't ever surrender someone you love to the drugs. Don't let the drugs win. I know it's very difficult. It can be very painful because you have some emotional investment. And you hate to see people in such a state. There's a whole thing called tough love. And that's an important thing. It's not just a t-shirt. But sometimes you got to take a little bit of your heart back. And you got to love them. But you kind of do it with gloves on. Right? And that's an important aspect of this. And so I just encourage you, check on your friends. And let people that you know that are hurting know that you still love them. Because I can promise you, Thanksgiving 1991, I wasn't sure anybody in the world loved me. That's the truth. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company. I know they love me. I know they do. And I love them. And I have for a long time. I love them first. But I can tell you, it has been a raging romance between me and Bulldog Burger Company since shortly after they opened. I mean, I love going in there. I do. And I love getting it to go, too. I mean, it's not just the ambiance and the atmosphere and the quality service, which is exemplary. You know, sometimes I just want to have a Bulldog burger, right? And sometimes I don't have time to sit. I got a lot going on, and I get it to go, and they have taken the to-go order to the next level. Like, there's a lot of people that just kind of throw your food in a sack and hand it to you and say, best of luck. Give me my 20% tip. That's not the case at Bulldog Burger Company. So many reasons to go there. The first one is the quality food. The second one is the quality service. And then also, too, it's just an experience going in there. They have kind of mastered feeding folks. And I encourage you, go check out one of their three great locations, University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you and everybody around you better looking, right? It's in the science. They told us, trust the science, trust that science. Some of you, I can tell, I'm giving you tough love here. You need more spring rolls in your life. That's just me being polite and courteous about it this time of year. You need more spring rolls. Some of you need to have the full order for yourself. Matter of fact, I don't even know if I'd get an entree. Just get like a double order of spring rolls and then make the world a more beautiful place. Yeah. And get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. And a reminder too, again, in the holiday season, think about giving the gift of Bulldog Burger Company or Harvey's or the grill, peppers, I mean, everything. Like, you can get an Eat With Us gift card. I guarantee you, you know, somebody out there that could use a night out on you. It's a great gift, right? Go to eatwithus.com and you can get those gift cards. What an excellent idea for a Christmas gift. Be sure and check it out. Guys, the Eat With Us group has always been there for us, right? There have been a lot of people that have kind of come and gone over the years, but they're an institution in the Golden Triangle. We love them, and we've celebrated, you know, relationships there. We've celebrated graduations with them. We've celebrated maybe rehearsal dinners with them. They've always been there when we need them. And that's one of the things that I love about Starkville. I wrote about this recently, too, on Gene's page, just, you know, in a message board post. I love that we're not corporate here. Like some people are like, oh, this place is coming and this place is coming. Wouldn't that be great? Guys, I love our local flavor. I do. I love that we're not some corporate entity. You know, we got people that are invested in Starkville, and we need to be invested in them. And that's the Eat With Us group, Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. Okay, let's look ahead here at the weekend. We're not going to have a show tomorrow, and there won't be a show on Friday, unless we win. And again, that may depend on how much I want to watch other college. I may be so jacked I have to do it. But you'll get another show Friday or Saturday. We'll just kind of see how things roll out here. But anyway, so you've had Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and now you're getting your Wednesday show. So are you, four shows this week and then one more for the weekend. Depending on the outcome, we'll see. But you're definitely going to get one. I'll save my final thoughts about Ole Miss and Mississippi State for the final segment, okay? The 2:30 game on Friday, we got a triple header on Friday. And what a great day like to watch college football, right? It's rivalry week all over the league, and you get three great games, or should have three great games, as we get into Friday. Of course, our game is the first one, 11 a.m. on ABC. And then Georgia Tech. I think this is going to be a better game than the odds makers say. They're better at all this than I am. I'm not going to sit here and act like I've got some inside information. Georgia's 10-1. Georgia Tech is 9-2. Man, what a great job Coach Key and that staff have done there. They have. Now, do you remember, here's what we know about the series, right? Georgia leads 72-41-5. And Georgia is on a seven-game winning streak right now. I don't know if you remember last year's game. It was a wild one that we needed some extra time to finish. Georgia wins at 44-42. You know, went multiple overtimes. It's a great game. The year before, Georgia wins 31-23. But that was a wild one last year. And so because with that in mind, and this game's going to be in Atlanta, and Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Georgia's favored by 13.5. I like Georgia to win here, but I'm taking Georgia Tech to cover. Nearly two touchdowns in this game that over the course of the last 2 years has been extremely competitive. And I think this is a better Georgia Tech team this year than what they had last year. Last year they upset some people and it was a surprise. It's not a surprise this year. The Georgia Tech didn't play exceptionally well last week, but I suspect they'll be good to go in this one. Should be a fun one. That's going to be 2:30 on ABC. Texas A&M in Texas. Man, this tickets are going like even upper-level tickets going for over $300. You know, for years they didn't play this game. You know, when A&M left for the SEC, Texas like, we're not going to play them anymore. We're not going to do it. You're doing it. Yeah, you're doing it. Matter of fact, we'll help you out with that. We're going to make sure you do it. And that's the decision you make when you come to join our league. I don't know if you know much about the series. And a lot of people say if there's ever really a big brother, little brother type series or rivalry in the country, it's this one. Texas 77, A&M 37, and then five ties. And the Longhorns have won two in a row, but that's a little bit of a misleading statistic because they just started playing again last year. Of course, 2011, they suspended the series, and I hated to see that go away. Well, now it's an SEC series. And so last year, Texas rolled into College Station and won 17-7. This year, the Aggies have to go to Darrell K. Royal, former Mississippi State head coach Darrell K. Royal Stadium. And the Aggies are actually the road favorite. I'm going to go with A&M here. Now, A&M's 11-0. Texas is 8-3. And I think Mike Elko has probably coached a lot of that little brother mentality out of them. And I think the fact that they haven't played but one time in the last decade plus, I think that allows maybe to kind of sanitize and cleanse the vibe about this little brother stuff, right? Because these student athletes, they don't have any memory of that stuff. They didn't grow up in that. You know, we all did. They didn't grow up with Texas beating Texas A&M regularly. Now, the fans are going to feel the little brother thing. But the players, not so much. And so because of that, and the fact that I think Texas A&M is going to neutralize the Texas running game. I do think they will get to Arch Manning a little bit, who has played well as of late. A lot of people are talking about he was a bust, but, man, the kid's played really well the last few weeks. But I'm going to go with A&M. 11-0, 7-0 in the SEC. They can absolutely clinch everything. Everything. With a win on Friday. And, of course, Texas is 8-3. Wouldn't it be ironic, like in Texas A&M's dream season, that it's Texas that goes 8-4? Well, that's about what's in front of you. They're 8-3 now. Could be 8-4. That's always been the shot at A&M, is they're just an 8-4 program. Wouldn't it be interesting? It almost be poetic justice. So we're going to take the Aggies on the road. I just think the Texas A&M front is going to prove to be too much. I think they can match up in a secondary with Wingo and some of those guys. I just think I like A&M all the way. All right, Kentucky and Louisville. If you're like me, you just haven't really paid a lot of attention to this rivalry over the years, right? I mean, I think that's fair. I don't think any of us will look at this and say, that's a game I got to watch. You know, I don't think there's anybody that's even going to tune into this thing other than the fans of the teams that are participating. You know, I just don't think it's one of those – it's not one of those games you're going to dial up and you're going to set the record on your DVR or go back and watch on demand. But it's a series that has favored Kentucky slightly. 19 wins against 16 losses against Louisville. And Louisville actually wins the game last year 41-14 in Lexington. Yeah, the last four meetings have been split, but last year's game was not even close. Now, I think this one will be close, and so do the odds makers in Vegas. The Wildcats have to head to Louisville. Kentucky is 5-6, and I thought maybe they had turned the corner, and they got absolutely just embarrassed last week by Vanderbilt. You know, Louisville 7-4. You know, they'll feel good about an 8-4 season, I would suspect. The Cards are favored by 3.5 at home. Let's take the Cards and the points. Kentucky's just been so inconsistent on offense. And last week I thought, well, you know, that Kentucky defense, so maybe neutralize Pavia in the running game. And they did not. They did not. And just to kind of give you an estimation, you know, when I pull up this stuff on the internet, you know, it kind of gives you ticket prices in case you're interested in going. Second lowest rivalry week ticket price in the SEC. Again, this kind of amplifies what we were saying. I mean, nobody in the SEC pays attention to this. But we'll take Louisville. Clemson at South Carolina. That's one thing that I will say, no matter what you may think of Shane Beamer, he has done a good job. You remember the old Muschamp, no, we're not the little brother. You know, somebody asked, hey, coach. And, man, Muschamp got angry. I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. One of the TV guys asked him, do you feel like South Carolina is a little brother? And, man, he got lit. Clemson leads the series 73-44-4, four ties. We don't have that anymore. But Beamer has made this a real series, right? I mean, like, they've competed under Beamer Ball. In 2022, South Carolina wins 31-30 in Clemson. 2023, Clemson gets them 16-7. And then last year, South Carolina again gets Clemson 17-14. So they've made this very competitive. For years, it was not competitive. It was not. I mean, and you can just dial it up and look at it. I mean, for basically the better part of, you know, with 7 years there, Clemson won every year. You know, South Carolina under Spurrier did some good things. But, yeah, it had really gone the way of Clemson. Yeah, and Dabo and those guys, of course, are playing things of real significance. But nevertheless, I just feel like South Carolina and Shane Beamer, I think South Carolina wants this game more than Clemson does. Those are my feelings today. And like, if you go back and look at Clemson, like, they're 6-5. They're 6-5. But let's be honest, they're kind of lucky that they're even there. And man, how far have they fallen? You know, remember what a big deal that was, like when OSU went to go beat Clemson? And everybody's like, man, what a huge win for OSU. And both of them are no good. It's funny how the season kind of brings things into focus, right? But, you know, I go back and look. You know, they beat Troy 27-16. That wasn't great. They still won against Louisville on the road. Crazy. You know, this is a very fragile team. And I think in the end, going on the road when you know.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
No, you're not going to play for anything of significance. You went to Clemson thinking you're going to compete for championships, and then all of a sudden the narrative changes. The Gamecocks at home, and these games are on Saturday. If it was at night, I'd feel even better about it. But the Gamecocks, 2.5-point favorites, we're going to take them. We're going to take South Carolina to win and cover against Clemson. And Clemson obviously will be probably paired up with an SEC team in a lower-level bowl game. I'd like that to be us. I would. Okay, your 2:30 ABC game on Saturday is LSU on the road at Norman, Oklahoma. Now, I don't know if you've kept up with the FBS playoff rankings, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But Oklahoma is like right there. They're right there. And I did not expect that early in the year. I joked about it. But they're right there. They are. LSU now 7-4. They have not played well. Even with they've won. That's what matters most, right? But, yeah, Frank Wilson's not, you know, Frank's not getting any more head coaching jobs. And with Michael Van Buren, you know, Garrett Nussmeier's out for the year, you know, but Michael Van Buren going to start on the road at Oklahoma against that front. If you saw Mike last week against Western Kentucky, it did not it did not give you the warm and fuzzies. It's true. It was tough, man. And that's against the Western Kentucky defense at home. What's it going to be like on the road against Oklahoma? Now, Mike made some big plays at times last year for Mississippi State in some road games. But a lot of those plays were made when the game was already decided. You can go back and fact check me on that. But, yeah, we're going to take Oklahoma here. Oklahoma favored by 10.5 points. I don't know if you've kind of kept up. You know, this LSU-Oklahoma thing is relatively new. Obviously, they played for a national championship many moons ago. But it's just – that's the thing about adding these teams. It kind of gives you those novelty-type trips, you know. They've met four times in history. And last year, the first time as SEC opponents and the first time as regular season opponents. But all the other three were all bowl games. And LSU obviously won big in the Sugar Bowl in 04. I say big. They won 21-14. I remember Justin Vincent having that big run early in that game. And you're like, you know what? LSU's here to fight. And in 2019 in the Peach Bowl, LSU absolutely wore Oklahoma out. So, not rivalry week, but still like an intriguing matchup against teams that have been kind of cross-sectional opponents at times in the postseason. But, yeah, we're taking the Sooners here. And I enjoyed watching Oklahoma last week against Missouri. I thought they were a fun team to watch. And so I think that'll be a fun game on Saturday. And that's one thing about us playing on Friday is we're going to have a great Saturday, especially if we win. But Saturday is going to be awfully entertaining for us. That's on ABC. on the ESPN Maiden broadcast channel, you're going to have Vandy in Tennessee. This may be the game of the week, right? I mean, it's like it's one of those games you look at and say, well, this team's playing this team, and there's so much bitterness and hatred and history and tradition. There's not a lot of history and tradition. There's a lot of history, but not a lot of tradition between Vandy and Tennessee. You know, let's just be honest. We talk about a little brother situation. Of course, the people at Vanderbilt look down on the people of Tennessee until they step on a football field. But this is a Vanderbilt team that I think everybody would agree is capable of competing and winning. In this series, Tennessee leads 79-33-5. The Vols have won four in a row within the series. Of course, you had a couple games that were vacated because of the Jeremy Pruitt scandal up there. But on the field, they've won six straight. The last Vanderbilt win was in 2018, and that was in Nashville, and they got Tennessee and change, right? Vandy actually won 3 years in a row, 16, 17, and 18. So this is a Vanderbilt team. I guarantee you that Clark Lee and Barton Simmons and those guys have them believing that they can win this game. And that's where having a great quarterback. Like, and so I would just say, you know, Diego Pavia is basically Vanderbilt's Dak, right? I mean, like, Pavia, like Dak, is like, hey, we're not just going to accept the natural order of things. We're going to go play ball. I like him. I do. I like watching him play. I think he's a lot of fun. And this would be a great way to ride off into the sunset, right? Vanderbilt, 9-2. Tennessee, 8-3. Vanderbilt's actually a game ahead of Tennessee in the standings of the Southeastern Conference. My heart wants to pick Vandy, but my head's picking Tennessee. I think in the end, Tennessee's going to have just enough athleticism to win this game. Tennessee favored by 3.5. We're going to take the Vols, but man, this thing could go either way. I wouldn't be surprised to look up at halftime and like Vanderbilt's up two scores. You just never know. But Vanderbilt involved in some good possibilities. All right, Missouri and Arkansas. They've tried to make this a big deal. It's not. As a matter of fact, if you want a ticket to this game, you can get it for about $10. The lowest of the ticket prices in the league this week. About $10. So, hey, if you're in Fayetteville and you're thinking, hey, I'd like to have something to do, you can go watch Missouri and Arkansas play. And, again, I'm not sure what to expect. And this whole Bo Pribble thing is still amazing to me. But, yeah, maybe they put him out there. I thought it was gamesmanship. Maybe they put that out there just to kind of let their people know that give them a little hope that, you know, they're not just going to ride out the season. All right, this is a series that dates back a little ways, but they've only played 15 times. Missouri leads 11-4 over Arkansas. Did you know that? That's probably some surprise there, right? You probably thought this was more competitive. It's not. Arkansas's last win came in 2021, and before that, you'd have to go back to 2015. Yeah, remember that Brandon Allen team. That was a good team. Hunter Henry, all those guys. They've met in the postseason a couple times, but as conference foes, it's been a more regular thing. Missouri has won three straight in the series, and I think they will here because Arkansas is just so bad defensively. I think they'll be able to score a little bit, but I don't think that they're going to be able to do anything of real significance. I think Missouri will probably score pretty much at will in this game. I think Missouri wins this game. Missouri, the road favorite at 2.5. We'll finish the year at 8-4, and then we'll see what happens with Eli Drinkwitz, right? It's so interesting, too. You remember, we talk about how life has a sense of humor. I think that, I'm a firm believer in you reap what you sow. And like you say, karma, and some people get their feelings hurt. But I'm a firm believer that, like this Bobby Petrino thing, I think if they ever needed, you know, karma to pop up for them, it has. And I don't mean at the expense of Arkansas fans, but you know, why Bobby Petrino is no longer at Arkansas, right? You know why he lost his job. And you kind of made a deal with the devil bringing him back. I know what some of the donors said, but you kind of like, you know. Well, I think Arkansas fans are kind of getting beat up a little bit because of Bobby Petrino is reaping what he sowed in Fayetteville. You go back and look at this whole thing, right? Bobby takes over. You score a bunch of points, but you can't win a game. He's 0-for as an interim. Loses. Of course, he takes over. They make the Tennessee game competitive. They lose. They make the A&M game competitive. They lose. They make the Auburn game competitive. They lose. They make it very competitive with us and lose. They go on the road at LSU and should have won. They get up early and then lose. And then they play Texas, and it really wasn't much of a game in the second half. And they score 37 points and lose. So you've got a very prolific offense here, but you've got a terrible defense. And so it's obvious Arkansas is not going to be hiring Bobby Petrino as their coach. And a lot of things in the wind there. Of course, there were some other people forecasting Coach Morris from North Texas to head there. He's going to Oklahoma State. And I think that's a good hire for them and a good place for him. I don't know that I'd want to jump into this meat grinder of a league right now with my first Power 4 job. That's just me. But, again, the Tigers favored by 2.5. We'll take the Tigers on the road, and Arkansas will finish the year 2-10. Man, I don't know if they've ever been more excited for basketball season. And, of course, I got people up there, but it's just interesting how this has all played out. We knew Sam – they should have fired Sam last year. They should have. Should have. But here we are. I don't know their economics. Florida State at Florida. Now, Florida State's 5-6, and they have announced that they're going to be bringing Coach Norvell back for another year. I think that removes a distraction from Florida State. Florida already knows they're going to have a new coach. They don't know who it's going to be. Billy Gonzalez doing his best he can to kind of keep things in the, you know, at least have some semblance of competitiveness. Rivalry game in Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. I wonder how many are going to show up. I suspect it'll be a good crowd. At least the Florida folks will show up. But, it's a rivalry game, you're typically going to go. But I don't think a lot of people are making plans at the last minute to go out there and check it out. But Florida State at Florida. And how many times has this been like, for you kids like me that grew up in the 80s, you remember what a big game this was? I mean, when Spurrier was there, it was like the Florida-Tennessee game and then this one, right? I mean, that's just, those were games that, it was must-see TV. Florida leads the series 38-28-2. Florida wins last year, as you guys are aware. Billy Napier and him kind of closed the season well. And Gators have won, you know, 4 of the last 6 in the series. But Florida State's last win in a series came in Gainesville 2 years ago. So it'll be interesting to see. And again, Florida State makes probably the only decision they could make right now. There's not the mystique of the Florida State job there once was. And you're going to be competing with the SEC schools that have more money, more NIL. It's not a great year for Florida State to hire a coach. And who would have, like 20 years ago, would that be, we would be, there's no way we'd say that. But I'm going to take the Gators at home. No, I'm not. I can't do it. I'm going to take Florida State. I'm going to tell you what. I've been waffling back and forth about this. Florida State's a better team. Florida State knows that they're going to have a job next year. Maybe going into it with a lot of pressure. Florida State doesn't have the same distractions. Florida's kind of caught up in the Lane Kiffin thing, kind of peripherally. I'm going to go with Florida State. I talked myself out of it. Florida State. Iron Bowl. How do you guys feel about the Iron Bowl? It's not a cheap ticket, just so you guys know. A lot of people, and weird things happen at Auburn. Just does. In this game, weird things happen. You know, it's like, hey, Nick, got a second? You know, oh, the receiver was out of bounds with 1 second. They line up, they try to kick that field goal, and Chris Davis returns it for a touchdown in one of those incredible Iron Bowl lore moments. I can see the video in my mind and hear the guy, Auburn's going to win the football game. It was incredible. Incredible. Never seen anything like it. And if you don't think Auburn is capable, then winning this game, you're kidding yourself. Auburn can absolutely win this football game. Auburn could win and get bowl eligible. Alabama, of course, kind of trending toward the playoffs. Kind of quietly going about their business. You know, it hadn't been a great year for Alabama. And you look up and they've got a good chance of finishing 10-2. They're just winning football games. But they hadn't been a dominant team. And again, I think that's what NIL and a transfer portal have done for you, is create a little more parity. But Alabama's won 5 in a row in this series. I've never seen this as a big brother, little brother situation, ever, ever. There are some years I think Auburn is by far the superior team. Now, Alabama's probably been the better program than Auburn over the years. But I can assure you, nobody at Auburn is going to be intimidated when Alabama shows up. Nobody. And this is a legit Auburn defense. Their last win against Alabama came in 2019 in Auburn, 48-45. And if you look at kind of what's happened, the last couple of wins for Auburn in this series have come at home. Weird things happen when the Iron Bowl is at Auburn. It just seems to be that way. And I just think about, you know, the weird things, you know, Jalen Milroe and, you know, Menchie and those guys, the plays that they've made in recent years in this game. The Tide's favored by 6.5 at Auburn. I'm going to take Auburn. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Auburn. I don't know if they win, but I think this is a very competitive game. I think they have a little juice after last week. And listen, I know it was a non-conference opponent, but they looked good execution-wise. And, of course, Deuce Knight obviously did some big things for them. Auburn's got nothing to lose. Alabama has everything to lose. I'm taking Auburn. So you may see it differently, but I'm going to be very aggressive this rivalry week, and we'll see how things kind of play out for us. It's time for our close with Blair Player of the Day. Yeah, it is. Brought to you by Close with Blair. That's Blair Chandler, my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. You can give him a call or text today at 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler is the only name to know. Save his number in your phone as mortgage guy, because you never know when you're going to need him. Life may throw you a curveball. Maybe you get a job change, a relationship change, or perhaps a family change, and you got to pick up and move, right? Let Blair do most of the heavy lifting for you, helping you find a new place to live. And for some of you, the dream of home ownership has eluded you. Some of that may be because you just weren't quite ready. Another part of it may be you had the wrong loan originator. Blair can help you get ready if you're not ready, but also, too, be your advocate with underwriting when things get a little bit difficult. That's closewithblair.com. Okay, our player of the day, we're going to go with Kelly Jones, because I think Kelly is a guy that could have a big game. He had a big egg ball last year. They kept trying him over and over and over again. It's rare that he's been beat, you know, on a fade or something like that. You know, Missouri got him last week, and just an unbelievable throw and catch, or 2 weeks ago. Feels like forever since we played a game. But Kelly Jones is going to have to be big for us in this game, and not just as a pass defender, but also in run support. Kelly is a guy that is a very physical player. He has proven himself capable of doing some incredible things. He is a pro. I think he benefits from coming back, but Mel Kiper's like, you know what, he's probably one of the first corners taken in the draft. If he elects to come out, they will do their due diligence and get their NFL feedback, and then we'll see. But, man, it'd be great to have him back for another year. But I also understand Kelly Jones got needs of his own. So he'll have to figure that out. But we need him to have a big game against Ole Miss. And I think he is a guy, too, because of his incredible catch radius and speed, I think he could get his hands on a football. It may be a moment that could be huge for us in this ball game. So Kelly Jones out of Clarksdale, Mississippi, your close with Blair player of the day. Okay, Not doing music today, but Kalito Guitars is proud to sponsor the top 10 list. It's going to be a little bit different than normal, but I think it's a very important list. Listen, I haven't been able to play much here as of late. I've been very, very busy, and I plan to play some this weekend. I love my Kalito guitar, and I've got the Steve Vai Ibanez Signature Edition. Again, saw a video of him playing Still of the Night with Billy Sheehan and Dino. It was great. It was great. I even took a screenshot, sent it to Dana. That's my guitar. I'm very proud of that. You can find a guitar that you're proud of, too. And I guarantee you, you know a guitar player in your life. Turn them on to Kalito Guitars, because even if you're not the one doing the buying, you can put them in a situation where they save some money as they pursue their craft. But Christmas time is coming up. I guarantee you know somebody that needs a new guitar, needs some accessories. Rather than just go to Amazon or somewhere like that, let's go to a Mississippi state-owned and operated company out of Lake Jackson, Texas, that's going to do some things to help Mississippi State. Yeah, so not only are you going to get quality instruments at a discounted price with incredible service, you're going to be helping Mississippi State in the process. Well, how, Steve? How? What are you talking about? Well, whether you shop in person at their expansive showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas, or you call on the phone, or you order online, we got a promo code for you. BSR, you know it well. That entitles you to a 10% discount off their already low price. That gives you free shipping. That gives you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund based on your purchase price. So everybody wins. You win by getting a quality instrument at a discounted price. They win by doing business with more Bulldogs. And Mississippi State wins. It's a win-win-win for everybody. So be sure and check them out today. Kalito Guitars. Again, whether you're looking for electric, classical, acoustic, gig bags, cases, strings, everything you need to be a quality guitar player, you can find at Kalito Guitars. It is your guitar shop. Okay. I don't necessarily have these in order because I could spend all day kind of prioritizing this. But it's Thanksgiving. Here are 10 things I'm very thankful for. 10 things I am very thankful for. We'll start with number 10, and it's not number 10. It just happens to be 10 on our list. It's not 10 on the level of importance. But number one, I'm grateful to be alive. And if you had told me, you know, 35 years ago, I'd still be alive today, I wouldn't believe it. Would not have believed it. And I remember, you know, when I lost my mind, I went crazy. You know, it's just one of those things that I look back on, and it's just one of those things you take for granted when you're young. You know, you really do. You think you're going to live forever. And I got some news earlier that former Mississippi State linebacker Reggie Stewart passed away earlier this week, and he's had some health challenges. But, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to him. And that's one of those things that you just think about, man. It's like as long as you have breath, you have hope to make change in life and change in your community, your family, and in the world. So we're going to start there. Number nine is to know God, to have a relationship with a higher power, and I choose that to be God. You can choose whatever you want. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've got the corner of the market on ideas that are correct. You know, you may have it right. I may have it wrong. I don't believe so. I'm pretty confident that I'm right, but I'm not going to begrudge you your own beliefs. But I think it's important to have a relationship with a higher power, to believe there is something greater than yourself, that this is all this that didn't happen by accident. You know, there are a lot of people out there that say, well, trust the science. Well, you know, the science doesn't know, you know. And at some point, you've got to have faith in something. I choose that to be God, and I hope that you do as well. Number eight on the list is to have the ability to love and be loved, and that's one of those things that has been a challenge for me in my life. You know, I'm not a person that has always received love as well as I should, and a lot of it's a self-esteem issue. You know, it's you work through it as you get older, but you think, you know, well, they don't really love me. They don't really love me, and I can have a pity party whenever I want to. I can sit around all of a sudden, you know, somebody's getting a haircut, not texting back. They don't even care about me, you know. And you know what? There are some people that don't. And you got to learn to be okay with that and love yourself and say, you know what? I've got some pride about myself. I'm not going to lower who I am for the acceptance of somebody else that, you know, I'm sitting here starving for love and attention, and they're trying to give me crumbs, and I'm not going to be grateful for that. I want more. I deserve more. That's an important aspect of life. But to love without restriction is a wonderful place to be. Number seven, to be an American. Very fortunate to be born in this country. I didn't earn that. You know, of course, I've chosen that. I could always pack up and move. Many other people do. But I still think it's the greatest country in the world. Despite our warts, there's a lot of great things to love about America. And I don't let the lunatic fringe impact my love for this country. And you may see it differently. That's perfectly okay, too. I think it's a miserable way to live. But I remember being a kid. You know, they had those bumper stickers and T-shirts. Either you love America or leave it. You know, that dates back to the 70s and 80s. It's not a new thing. Number six is to be a Mississippian. When I share with this with people all the time, and the more I travel, the more I'm grateful the fact that I was born in Mississippi, specifically South Mississippi. That's nothing. I live in North Mississippi now. I'm not in any way being critical of North Mississippi. We're all one family. But being born in South Mississippi, you learn how to deal with everybody. You do. You truly do. I mean, and that's the thing that I think about so many times. Like, there's so many people that I love from back home that have been so incredibly supportive of me. And I may never see them, you know, maybe once a year, once every 3 or 4 years. And you kind of keep up on social media. But, man, there are people from back home in South Mississippi that I know I can count on it at any time. Anytime to do anything for me, and when I would do the same for them. But the thing that I love about Mississippi is there's a real grit here. There is. There's a real grit and blue-collar work ethic here. And if it all fell down around us, I guarantee it'd be Mississippians leading the way to build it all back. Number five, I'm grateful to be a Bulldog. I don't know that I had a lot of choice in the matter. My dad and all his brothers, you know, they and sisters as well, but they all grew up on the old dairy farm out there on Augusta Road in Ellisville, Mississippi, and I'll be in Ellisville at some point tomorrow. But I love the Bulldog family. Like, I love the values of the Bulldog family, and we don't always agree on everything. At the end of the day, we all want to win. But when I go back and look at the genesis of this university, you know, and the Morrill land grant and how all those things happened. They originally gave the agricultural and mechanical arts money from the Morrill land grant to Ole Miss. And you know, the landed gentry up there just couldn't accept the fact the farmers' kids were going to school with their kids. And on the flip side of it is there were a lot of country folks who were like, I don't really want, you know, my kids to be, you know, going to Cotillion. You know, that's part of the deal. But I'm grateful to be a Bulldog and grateful to have been born into this family. And, yes, I am the descendant of a farmer's kid. And, you know, my grandfather, Otis Robertson, ran a huge dairy farm out there in Eville. And I'm very grateful to be from that tribe. Number four, and again, this probably should be higher on the list, but man, it's just to be healthy. I mean, the older I get, the more that matters, right? I mean, I rarely ever get sick, but I don't know what made the rounds here a few weeks ago. But it was rough, you know, it was rough. And yeah, got a little aches and pains, you know, as you get older, man, you know, things don't work the way they used to. And so to be healthy, to be able to take care of myself, to not be dependent on anybody else, to be able to drive myself, right, to be able to manage my own finances, all that good stuff, you know, not to be a burden on your kids, you know. And that's one of the things that I think about as I get old. That's the last thing that I want is to ever be a burden on my children. But they say, you know, when you're young, you don't appreciate it. They say, man, value your health, because one day you're not going to have it. I'm very grateful at this point in my life to still have it. Number three, to be able to do what I do, right? I mean, people all the time tell me, man, Steve, you've got the coolest job. And I agree. Short of being a rock star, this is it, man. I love it. I do. And Nemo and I talked about this recently, you know, about when Mike ran media relations at Mississippi State. And he goes, you know, Steve, it never felt like work. It was a lot of hours and a lot of travel, but it never felt like work. And that's how this is for me. And yes, there are some days it feels like work. Like, I've got a lot, big riding day ahead of me. Had a big riding day yesterday. But I love riding. And you guys all benefit from that too, right? And that's not to say I don't make some mistakes every now and again. I do. But I love what we do. I never need a day off. because I don't feel like I'm working, right? And I think about this, like, you know, I was telling my guys this week, I said, hey, I'm going to write all these retrospectives about the Egg Bowl, and I'm going to run them all between now and Thanksgiving. And I'm going to run most of them on Thanksgiving Day because I don't want you guys having to worry about producing content on Thanksgiving Day. So if you guys maybe give me a story, kind of pre-write a story for Thanksgiving, we're going to take the day, but we're going to be covered because we're going to have a lot of Bulldogs that are excited about the Egg Bowl. They're going to be looking for things to read that are about Mississippi State, not necessarily about Lane Kiffin. And so I want to make sure that we produce content. I don't know what everybody else is going to do, and I don't care what everybody else is going to do. I don't live my life based on what everybody else does. I know that we have an obligation to you. And I remember growing up in South Mississippi, and like you get the paper and you just want to read something about Mississippi State, win or lose. And then sometimes there wouldn't even be one single solitary story in the paper about Mississippi State. And I'm talking about even in the Clarion Ledger. There'd be some days you'd go days without a story about Mississippi State. And so I'm very fortunate to be in a position where I can change that. And the internet's huge. We can write as much as we want. And I don't care what everybody else does. It makes no difference to me. I've got some people within my own network, and they're like, man, you guys produce so much content. Do you think it's too much? How could it ever be too much? It makes no sense to me. You know, and I'm about to start working on another writing project, and I'm excited about that. And so I'm very grateful for that aspect of it, to be able to do what I do. As I've shared with you guys before, my first dream in life was to be a rock star, and that sent me to drug rehab, and this is much safer. But I've always been a person that had the need to create and express myself, and I'm so grateful to be your eyes and ears. Which brings me to number two. I'm so grateful for all of you. Whether you buy books, whether you subscribe to the website, whether you just listen to the show, or you do it all. You come float at Dana's place, and we got like 20 today. I am. There would be no need for me to sit here and just speak into a microphone and go out into a vacuum. You know, this is a relationship that we have, and I have so many people that will come up to me, Steve, man, I love the Boneyard, and I appreciate what you do, and there's so many from out of state that'll reach out and say, you know, we don't get any Mississippi State radio stuff out here. So I appreciate all of you guys that are podcasting there in Starkville. And I'm a firm believer in that too. I don't think you got to pick and choose. I think Mississippi State people are probably at the best point in their lives as fans to have the options they do to consume Mississippi State content. It's never been better. And to be a part of that is something I'm very proud of. And I remember when, and Brian and I both, they were already doing the B&B show. And then Brian went to work for Bulldog Sports Radio like the same week that I had agreed to do a show. And man, that feels like forever ago now, right? I mean, forever ago. And, you know, we kind of built this thing in many respects together. And so I'd never, ever, 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 ever feel like, hey, you got to pick and choose. And I think those of you that live that way, I think it's a tough way to lose. Because I can tell you, when we had that issue out here at the house when Ian's old car got set on fire, one of the first people that I heard from was Brian. One of the first people to text me was Brian. We're friends. We hadn't always been. You know, there was a time, obviously years and years and years ago, that we weren't. But learning to podcast and working together with Bulldog Sports Radio made Brian and I friends. And if Brian called me at 2 in the morning, and he was somewhere he didn't want to be or he needed help, I would get in the car and go. I mean, simple as that. So those of you that think that there's like some beef, you're only doing it to yourself. There's not. And it's not that we're always some big happy family up here, but we do respect each other. We're competitors, but at the same time too, you guys are in such a great position because you've got options. That wasn't always the case. And finally, and probably one of the most important things on the list, and I say probably, it is one of the most important things on the list. I am so incredibly grateful to be clean and sober. I understand that I am the exception rather than the rule, and I get emotional thinking about that. And I say it all the time, and it kind of gets to be old hat, right, to some people to hear it. But the reality of it is everything that I have, every relationship, Every possession, every opportunity, every bit of it comes from a daily decision not to drink or use. And, you know, every so often there'll be some, has to be some Ole Miss fan will say something on Twitter about it. And inevitably, one of you will reach out and say, oh my gosh, Steve, this is so horrible. Trust me, I'm fine. I don't live life with that level of fragility, right? They wouldn't even have this information and I hadn't put it out there. Right, but I've never been anonymous. Like, as soon as I went to rehab, my family could not wait to tell everybody that I was in drug rehab. And that was about them more so than me, right? They were trying to, like, oh my gosh, his picture's been in the paper and he's been arrested. There's all this stuff and all this public outrage. And people were like, so I'm sure that was, again, they did the best they could. I'm not judging anybody, but I've never been anonymous. And one of the things that I decided to do years ago, I got convicted of this, and there's somebody else in recovery that's one of my best friends, and I loved him dearly. And this person said I'd made a comment about, kind of critical about the recovery community. And he goes, what are you doing to change it? And I would take that from him. I wouldn't take it from a lot of other people, but I took it from him, and I said, he is absolutely right. And so I became to be more visible and transparent about being in recovery. It also holds me accountable, right? It's true, you know. And there are a lot of people that were in the recovery community. They were upset because I wrote a book about recovery, which is so incredibly stupid. But the reality of all this is that I am so, some days I pinch myself, right? I'll be driving down my dorm driveway. And I think, man, you know, Steve, you got this big house out in the country. You got this cool car. You got this hot smoking wife. You got these amazing children. And then I remember where it all started. And it was a hospital bed at Pine Grove Recovery in Hattiesburg. And there are some days that I'll catch myself. And it's not to say that I'm not proud. I'm incredibly proud of the life Dana and I have built. Incredibly proud. But some days I'll catch myself and I'll take too much of the credit. And then God gives me a little bit more of the work. Kind of going back to the beginning, right? Being alive, being present, having a constant connection with a higher power. But I remember, you know, checking into rehab at 6'2", 146 pounds. And I was about to pass out. I had 6 days with no alcohol or drugs. And I was going through withdrawal symptoms terribly. And my mom was checking me into Pine Grove. And my only prayer at that point was I just wanted to make it to my room before I passed out because I didn't want her to have that visual. And I prayed at the time. I said, God, just let me get to my room. I thought I was dying. And I said, just let me get to my room. I don't want my mom to see me fall out on this floor. And it all starts with little prayers. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. It all starts in little prayers, in little rooms. Every bit of it. And sometimes it's just, you know, God, can I make it to tomorrow? Can you get me to tomorrow? And that's what happens. And so I share that with you because, you know, sometimes my friends back home are so funny. You know, they knew me before all of this. And obviously. And people are like, man, it's just this big machine, man. It's the books and the show and the website and these personal appearances. And every time I turn around, I see somebody's posting a picture with you and stuff. And all of that is great. And I appreciate all of it. But it all started with a little prayer. Just a short, little, honest, earnest prayer. And it was a prayer to get better. So thank you. And I didn't mean to get emotional today, but when I talk about recovery in its rawest form, I'm just so grateful. I am so incredibly grateful. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and why? Because they got what we want, and we want more Mississippi State merch. We love repping the brand. We love wearing the clothes. We love having the school colors. We like making Maroon Friday a requirement in our dressing schedule. You can get outfitted completely at Campus Bookmart. Mom, don't overthink Christmas. Don't follow the trends. Stick with what's tried and true. Dad and the kids want Mississippi State stuff. They do. And you can find everything you need at Campus Bookmart, whether it be that fashionable new quarter zip, a pullover, a button-up, hoodies. Everything you need to outfit your family in Mississippi State gear can be found at Campus Bookmart. Anything that you need to detail out your fan cave or perhaps fill out the rest of your Christmas list can be found at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. It's BSR. They'll be open. Yeah, you can come by and check them out on Friday, post-game, do a little shopping, maybe stay over, just kind of enjoy the great city of Starkville. And no trip to Starkville is complete without stopping at Campus Bookmart. Be sure to make that part of your traveling schedule when you head this direction. Again, that's Campus Bookmart, promo code BSR. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right. In addition to this football game we got to play, you may have heard. Got a basketball game to play in Humphrey Coliseum. It is a huge game against a quality opponent. We're going to have SMU. And that's one of those things they talked about. They wanted to have a quality opponent come in for basketball so you guys would hang around. The Mustangs are 7-0. And, man, they're scoring some points, too. The lowest output this year, 69 points in a win over Texas A&M Corpus Christi. But they have exceeded the 100-point plateau three times this year against Murray State, Arkansas Pine Bluff, and Arkansas State. Now, we fully expect to be more competitive than that. But the reality of it is these guys are putting up some big numbers. That's going to be 6 p.m. following the Egg Bowl. And SMU going to travel here and then to Vanderbilt. This will be their first true road game of the year. You never know how people are going to react to that. But let's take a little bit of a look at the SMU Mustangs. It's another opportunity, right? That's the way you look at it. It's our opportunity to kind of go out and get a statement win, and we hope that's the case. But real quickly, look at the schedule here. I've given you a few of them, but they've taken on Tarleton State and, of course, A&M Corpus Christi, Murray State, Butler. That's a quality win there. 87-85 against Butler, Arkansas Pine Bluff, Arkansas State, and then Radford on Monday. They win that game 89-72. And as we've already discussed, they're putting the ball in the basket, averaging 92.7 points a game, only allowing 73. And some of that's the quality of competition. But when you begin to think about the fact they're winning games by about 20 points a clip, it gets your attention. Shooting over 50% from the floor. That's impressive. Yeah. 38% from beyond the arc. They're only allowing 39% from the floor, so they're playing some quality defense. So some of that's a product of the gang that can't shoot straight. But give SMU a lot of credit. They're getting it done on both ends. Out-rebounding opponents by about four, pulling down about 40 boards a game, dishing out almost 20 assists. Yeah, so it's team basketball. It's a quality opponent we're about to take care of here. And we need you there. Big, big game. Turn it over about 12 times a game. They're forcing 17 turnovers. 74 steals, which shows they're good on the ball defenders. About 10 a game, almost 11, and 30 blocks on the year. And that number will only go up individually. Boopy Miller. That's right. Boopy Miller. Averaging just over 20 points a game. He is 43% from beyond the arc, and this is a team that puts the ball in the sky. They got 139 three-point attempts this year, and they're not necessarily the best three-point shooting team, but you can live at 38%. You absolutely can't. Jerron Pierre Jr., 17.6 points a game, has pulled down 45 boards for an average of 6.4. And this is a team that rebounds as a unit, right? There's not one guy that's just kind of got gaudy numbers, and you say, well, that's the guy you got to get in foul trouble. They're crashing the boards. Corey Washington also pulling down almost 8 boards a game. Is that right? Now I got the wrong line. I got the wrong number there. I got the wrong number there. But yeah, he's about eight points a game. I'm gonna say it wrong. You get Leo, 7.7 boards a game. Jermaine O'Neal Jr. Yes, it's that Jermaine O'Neal Jr. Also a contributor to this team. But yeah, we're gonna have to play our best game of the year to come away with a win. And the magic of the hump at times can will this team along, as you guys are aware. You know, we pulled one out of the fire earlier this week against UNO. Bulldogs are just 500. We didn't expect that. But the reality of this is I still believe in Chris Jans. I still believe in this staff. And I think it's a matter of just getting things settled. When I'm in the emotional moment, some guys in my work text will tell you, I can be really hard on the Bulldogs. And a lot of it's expectations. You know, that's the thing, is you expect the Chris Jans quality team to come out and consistently defend at a high level. We didn't get that last year. And now this year, there is still a semblance of kind of that same feeling of last year where we didn't defend it well. And then on top of it, we're turning the ball over way too much. So hopefully you have a ticket 6 p.m. Friday. Can enjoy the Egg Bowl. And then next thing you know, you're heading over to the hump for hoops in honor of Hank Flick. As we mentioned earlier this week, the ladies win, and we're happy that that is going well. And again, I think this women's team may be better than some people think. And we'll see when we get into SEC play. We're 6-1. The only road game we've played, of course, went out to Texas Tech, and we lose that game by 7, but you and I both know we should have won the game. That dreadful second quarter proved to be the difference in the game. And they closed well, too, give them credit. But your Bulldogs win the Emerald Coast Classic, pick up a nice little trophy there, have a nice picture for the gram. They take care of Alcorn State and Middle Tennessee State. On Sunday, they'll be in action in the hump against Louisiana Monroe. So just come spend the whole weekend with us. Knock out Thanksgiving with the family. Come up and do some Black Friday and Black Friday weekend shopping. And you can take in the Egg Bowl, men's basketball game on Friday night, and then enjoy a day of shopping and perhaps dining in Starkville, and then turn around and watch the Lady Bulldogs take care of Louisiana Monroe on Sunday at 2 o'clock, and then you can still get home at a decent hour. Yeah, so a lot going on around here, and we encourage you to come take part whenever you get. But again, I think this ladies' team, and granted, we have not played a ton of quality teams. I'm not in any way going to suggest that our non-conference schedule has been challenging. But when we were challenged, we still played pretty well. In the one loss, and again, we look back and say this was about us, we should have beaten Texas Tech. But, you know, we'll just kind of get ready to go. You know, we'll figure this thing out as we go. But there's a lot to be excited about. Now, let's take a look at some recruiting stuff, too. You know, it's the final opportunity in season for Mississippi State to host visitors. We will have a ton of unofficial game day visitors that will come by and just spend the day with us. But official visitors, we got a handful of those, too. Kind of give you a preview of that. We were expecting Martavius Boswell to visit as well, but he ended up committing to West Virginia and shares that he will not visit Mississippi State. A lot of chatter out there about him, but good player. All right, so former Florida State commitment Tico Crittenden, Mississippi State was one of the first schools to offer him. He has recently took in an unofficial game day visit here, 6'4", 300-pound defensive tackle. State's got some work to do here, but he could be a guy that ends up being a quality late add. He's a high-level three-star, just below a four-star. One of those things you wonder, maybe if he had maintained a commitment to Florida State, maybe that he gets that. But he's visited Georgia Tech recently, and, of course, we'll see State. And then, you know, December signing period will be here before you know it. So that is one to really watch. I remember talking to Tico when he got the offer. He just seemed kind of disinterested in Mississippi State, but now here we are at the end. He's making his second in-season visit to State for the Egg Bowl. Kevion Henderson Jr. out of Carthage, Texas, another guy that we offered back in the spring, took some official visits during the summer months, but elected to wait this thing out, visited Kansas State earlier this year, and will be here for the battle for the Golden Egg. He's another guy that's a high-level three-star right at 88. 6'3", 190-pound guy with 15 offers. That's the thing, too. The guys that we're bringing in from the high school ranks, really good offer sheets. Now, Archie Chambers out of Colin, ranked as the top junior college linebacker in the country. And, again, it takes a little time to kind of get figured out here. But he's visited Charlotte and will visit Mississippi State. He's got over 20 offers to his credit. Very, very, very physical player, 6'3", 220 pounds. And the talk early on was he just really wanted State to offer and have an opportunity to play in the SEC. He's a native of New Orleans, played at Warren Easton High School. But that's one to watch. Dre Riley, of course, a Mississippi State commitment, a safety out of Northwest Mississippi Community College. I had a chance to see him play this year. Saw Chambers play this year, too. But Dre Riley recently visited Purdue. We don't expect to have any issues there. It would be a surprise if he flipped. It'd be a disappointment if he flipped, too. I think Dre Riley is a guy that can help us next year. Matt Mayfield, a Mississippi State commitment, committed to State at a high school. And also recommits after his time Colette. And so as of now, five official visitors expected to be, and we'll have reaction from that throughout the weekend. You know, once they're coming in Friday, enjoy the Egg Bowl, and then they'll spend Friday, Saturday, and we'll do our best to catch up with everybody on Sunday to get you guys' reaction. You can find that over at jeanspage.com. Of course, you know, you expect – you know, good things. But, man, it would be nice to get Tico. You talk about a position of need there, defensive line. And I don't know, honestly, I know what happens, right, is people begin to kind of say things, and then everybody just kind of begins to regurgitate it, right? It's like everybody parrots each other. And I think maybe it's an attempt to seem, you know, edgy or well-informed or whatever. I don't know that our fans are making a big enough deal about David Turner and Mississippi State hanging on to Caleb Morris. Now, he's a defensive tackle out of Mary G. Montgomery High School over in Alabama. And when Auburn offered, everybody said, well, that's probably that. He told me privately then that he had grown up an Alabama fan. And he was going to visit Auburn and see what they had to say. Well, then Alabama offered. And I said, well, I'm a little more worried about this one. Well, I don't know if Alabama backed off or he just decided not to pursue that, even though he grew up a lifelong Alabama fan, but he's going to stick with State. Ultimately, did not take that official visit to Auburn, did not set up one for Alabama. And so that's kind of flown under the radar a little bit. You know, number one, people aren't as in tune with high school recruiting as they once were, right? I mean, you guys know, 5 years ago, I mean, you knew who the players were around the state of Mississippi. But because the portal has become such a big thing, and we see it, right? I mean, like, our portal coverage gets more clicks ahead of signing day than high school stuff does because people just don't get as invested in high school players. It is what it is, and it's industry-wide. And so I think that's one of those things that maybe under normal circumstances people would have looked at and said, you know what, hey, that's a good job by Mississippi State. It's a good job by David Turner. And it looks pretty cool that on National Signing Day you'll be able to say that Mississippi State beat Alabama and Auburn for an in-state kid. Now, again, I don't know the level of attraction that Alabama had, but I know that Auburn pursued him very, very hard, and then that staff ends up getting fired. Well, the head coach does, and everybody else will be gone soon. So we'll see how that plays out with Auburn. But that is a kind of a quiet victory that I don't think our fans are making a big enough deal of. That's just my personal feeling. And, you know, hanging on to Zion Cotton, that looks to be, you know, everything's going to be fine there. I mean, you never know what's going to happen on National Signing Day if somebody comes in with a late offer. But, you know, you feel good about how things stand with him too. And he'll also be here for the Egg Bowl. And so, again, it'll be a great crowd. A lot of guys' seasons are over, as you guys are well aware, so it's not quite the issue that maybe it was earlier, you know, getting guys to campus. It's a little more difficult, you know, for that 11 a.m. kick. And let me just say again for the record, I am not ever in favor of an 11 a.m. kick for home games. That's just my feeling, unless it's the FCS game, right? I'm okay with that, but I don't like the 11 a.m. kick. I do like daytime football in November. I do. I like nighttime football August, September, October. I like daytime football in November. But I don't like the 11 a.m. kicks, period. And that's the old recruiting analyst in me. It's just so difficult to get guys to campus. And you think about this deal. It's Thanksgiving on Thursday, and then we're going to play 11 a.m. So you got kids traveling Thursday night, more of them, or having to get up early on Friday to get here. It just doesn't make for a great experience. You know, that's one of those things that you look at. You think about what's best for the student-athlete. But, you know, the TV schedule kind of rules the roost. You know, you got to keep the cash register ringing, and nobody thinks about, you know, the collateral part of it. But that's one of those things that kind of sticks out to me. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle whenever you're bringing a large group to town. And you should. You've seen it like in down, you know how it is. And, you know, you watch your little TV shows and you see movies and you think, man, how cool would it be for all of us to kind of meet up at one cool place and everybody stay under one roof? And, you know, if you want to stay up late and visit and somebody else wants to go to bed, you don't have to run back to the hotel room, right? How many times have you done that, right? Everybody, just when everybody's starting to have fun, somebody needs to go, oh, no, I'm ready to go lay down, right? And that's how they say it too. I'm ready to go lay down. They can go lay down and then the party can still continue or the conversation can continue. Just when you're having a great time, you don't have to end the fun. You can all stay together. And then, you know, maybe you start thinking about this thing too. I mean, how difficult is it to get your entire family under one roof? Now, if you're like me, you know, we started out with the six of us, right? And then all of a sudden, everybody began to attach themselves to significant others, and then grandkids started to show up. So it would be very difficult. We could make it work, but it wouldn't be very comfortable having everybody here back at home, even with this big house. And so it was so cool of us, for us, when we got to go stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse last New Year's. And I had my parents come up, and they stayed. And you got a chance to love on the grandkids and the great-grandkids for them. And so we'll see Mom tomorrow. But we made some good memories, and we will do it again. I share that with you, my own personal experience, because I think it's important that you know I've stayed there. I'm not just whistling Dixie to you, and I think you'll have a great time. Now, it's just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. It is the old, renovated country club clubhouse out past the Highlands, right off 182. Very easy to find. You can do your tailgating right there. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will pop up for you. You can peruse the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guests. Plenty of parking. Tons of parking. That's a great benefit that you don't think about when you travel sometimes. Full service kitchen, the wet bar, back porch area, fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 2, soon to be 3 baths. Check it out today. And now when you Google, some booking options are going to pop up too. Airbnb, VRBO. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. That's right, Evolve website. Use promo code BSR10. That's beautiful Steve Robertson 10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. Getting a discount just by being a loyal Barnyard listener at the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and check it out today. Okay, final thoughts on Mississippi State, Ole Miss. The first thing that I'm going to tell you, I'm not too proud to say it, I have no clue what Lane Kiffin's going to do. There are a lot of other people out there that are trying to suggest that they know, and maybe they do. Maybe they do. I have no clue. I think that he's going to leave. I think that. I do. I think he's going to leave. Now, we may get done with the show today, and we may wake up tomorrow and Thanksgiving, and you may have like some cheesy video with Lane Kiffin, you know, sitting around a fire or something announcing that he's going to stay and people be so excited. And one of the things that I think we've learned here, and this is not a criticism of Ole Miss people, please do not misunderstand me, because we would be in the same boat. And we were in many respects with Dan Mullen, even though Dan didn't quite win at the same level that Lane has. But we did some incredible things under Dan. But it wears on you. Like all of this flirtation with other schools, it does. It really wears on you. And then all of a sudden, it becomes like a coping mechanism, right? It's like, I got to get out of here. I got to be done with all this, right? I just want it to be over one way or another. But kind of what we've seen on social media, I mean from some dyed-in-the-wool rebs, they don't love Lane Kiffin. They don't. They love winning, as we love winning. And you love the person that is going to help you win, period. It's a transactional relationship. Because I can promise you, If Lane Kiffin was throwing up 5-7 seasons, they wouldn't like him nearly as much. You know, it's not always who they are, it's what they can do for you. And again, you see it even in the Ole Miss media, right? You know, they're getting kind of angsty about this thing too. And a lot of it, I can tell you as a guy that's been in those shoes, you know, when you're having to cover a coaching search, and they're not yet, but there's a big story like this, everybody turns to you, right? You know, they see the Pete Thamels and the Ross Dellingers, and those guys are obviously very well connected. They're national guys for a reason. At the end of the day, the fans turn to the local media because they have more relationships. Now, we may not have the relationships with CAA that national people do, but there are people in and around the program that will give you information, especially in times like this when you need to do something to calm the fan base. There will be a well-meaning staffer that will kind of pull you aside and say, hey, listen, here's if you want to kind of redirect the narrative, here's how things we're expecting to play out. We just can't be quoted. And you best believe those conversations are happening. The problem is that a lot of times, like the assistant coaches and like the general level staffers, they're the last to know. And then the people involved with the administration, until there's a deal in place or an agreement in place, they're very reluctant to say anything because if something gets out through the local media, then people typically know where it came from. They typically know that somebody on the administrative side may have said something. And I don't know if you guys have seen Glenn Boyce, the Chancellor, Glenn Boyce's interview with Richard Cross earlier this week. It passed over the reels and I watched it the other day, part of it. And Boyce said, hey, those conversations are ongoing. And you can kind of tell in his body language a little frustration, right? And so I share that with you because, again, I go back to, you know, the most logical conclusion is typically the right one. If they had good news to share, they would share it. I don't believe for one second that this is all like some contrived public relations thing. I don't believe that. Now, they may spin it that way. Like if Lane decides ultimately to stay, then you come out and you get your media relations people and your communications people involved and you're like, oh yeah, we had it all along. Even if you didn't. That's how the world works. But I just get, based on Keith Carter's statement last week and Chancellor Boyce's statements earlier this week, that that's not the case. I mean, if you just kind of infer and read between the lines there, you can kind of get, this is a frustrating situation for Ole Miss. Mississippi State folks, they're happy about that, right? How distracted will this team be? It's impossible to ignore it, and I think Mississippi State needs them to be distracted. And I think State needs something big to go their way early in this ballgame to ignite the Mississippi State crowd. Now, you guys are going to be jacked when you get out there, but you need something big early. You know, maybe it's a turnover. Maybe it's a big sack. You know, maybe you go up two scores. That'd be great, right? You don't want to be chasing a game. But State needs – everybody's going to be kind of sitting on pins and needles until, like, that first blow is delivered. I think Lebby's going to want the ball first. I know Kiffin's going to want the ball first. I think that could be significant in a game, too. You say, well, Steve, in the end, it doesn't matter. I think it does in games like this. You want to be the one delivering the first salvo. If you're Lane Kiffin, I want to settle my team in, right? I want to go score. Okay, now let's just play football. There's been all this craziness. Let's just go play football. And they score early, and it kind of quiets the crowd a little bit. Even if we don't want to admit that, that happens. So if you're Lebby, you want to get it first. You want to score first. Because even if they answer with a score, the crowd remains very much engaged, right? You get down in the ballgame, all of a sudden the collective psyche of the Bulldog fan base becomes a little more fragile and you start thinking, man, we can't afford to lose this game. I want to go to a bowl game. I don't want Ole Miss going to the playoffs. And they may make it anyway. But this is about us. This is about Mississippi State. We got to get that sixth win. We should have already had it. Right, we all admit that, but there's no point in conducting an autopsy at this point. We need to go win this football game. And I think this game will ultimately be decided by Mississippi State's ability to slow down the Ole Miss running game. I think how the state defense handles that tenet of football will determine the outcome. This Ole Miss pass rush has been good at times, but not really great. State's played some better fronts. They haven't been especially good against the run. They will, especially in obvious passing downs, get after you. They do kind of change it up a little bit sometimes, and they'll bring some pressure on first down and try to get you behind the sticks in a more predictable play-calling situation. But I think State's going to be able to protect enough. I think we will do. I don't think the Ole Miss pass rush will determine this game. It'll have an impact, obviously. But, you know, State's going to have to go out and run the football and do some good things. And I think that's one of the keys to victory. We need Fluff Bothwell to be an absolute war daddy in this game. We probably need a buck 50 or more from Fluff to win this game. And Davin Booth is out for the half. An undisclosed violation of team rules. No scoop there for you. My hope is that when Booth does get in the game, that he plays extremely well. We're going to need him. We're going to have to run the football and probably negate some of that pass rush. Now, I do also think Brennan Thompson's got to get some chunk plays. I think that's a big part of this thing, too. You can't establish the run and then not take advantage of safeties creeping up in the box. Establish the run, set up some max protect scenarios, and just throw it as far down the field and let Thompson run under it. That's got to happen. But I think the most important aspect of this game is managing the emotions of the game. That's one of the things Rocky Felker and I talked about when I interviewed him for a book, is that whoever makes the big mistake early typically finds themselves in a losing situation. We need the fan base to be engaged. We need something good to happen early. But if you're Jeff Labby and you get behind a little bit, you can't react emotionally. I think that emotion sometimes is what's pushing this pedal when we get sped up. It's like, oh my gosh, we got to get even. We got to get the lead. Instead of just managing the game, we have to play this game with passion and not emotion. And I think that's where you guys kind of come in too. When Ole Miss throws an incompletion, it's got to be super regional type environment. Right, I tried to equate that for somebody too. I said, if you've ever been to a super regional at Duty Noble Field, that's what the Egg Bowl feels like when it's tightly contested, where every play elicits a very passionate response from players, coaches, but certainly fans. We have to play with passion and not let emotion push us in the wrong direction. That's an aspect of this that I think cannot be overstated. We have to make sure that we get the wave of emotion and passion at our backs and not pushing up against it. That's an incredibly important aspect of this. I've covered so many of these Egg Bowls. I've watched even more. You know, I've studied this rivalry extensively throughout my career. And there are a lot of times where the team with the most to lose loses the game, as you guys are aware. I mean, you go back in 2007, you know, Ole Miss had some big things going. And Ed Orgeron obviously kind of had things going the way he wanted, and they lose the ball game. Mississippi State goes 7-5, and you go on to win the Liberty Bowl. 2009 with Dan Mullen. You know, Ole Miss comes in projected to go to the Capital One Bowl, and Mississippi State wins the game. You know, 2017. Mississippi State's got so much going on. I know it was difficult circumstances because of what happened to Nick Fitzgerald, but, you know, State was highly favored in the game, and we blow it. Keaton did all he could to try to bring us back. 2015, you know, Mississippi State wins, they go to the Sugar Bowl. Dak fumbles the opening possession. A little bit later, he throws a pick six to Tony Bridges, and then you're chasing the game, and Chad Kelly killed us. He did. They ended up going to the Sugar Bowl instead of us. It was a play-in game in many respects. And so that's why I think managing the emotions and passion of this game are so incredibly important, because every play is very, very significant. Every single play. And we've been there before many times. And I think Mississippi State's going to win a football game. I do. And we're going to need some help from them to win the football game. But I think State, with all of the circus that's going on, now, again, Ole Miss could announce tomorrow that Lane Kiffin's coming back, and that may change my feelings about the game. But I think 2 weeks of this media cycle has likely taken an emotional toll on the Ole Miss roster. And I don't believe any of these, you know, tweets that are coming out from players. I think all that is just contrived and conscripted by media relations. I think there are people within that building that are saying, hey, you know, let's get our fans galvanized. And that's what you should do, right? Manage the emotions of your own fan base. And if you can see, oh, that's leadership. Guys, it's not. It's a copy and paste. That's what that is. That's what it is. And so I think for State, I think you got to win the first quarter. I think you absolutely have to win the first quarter. And I think you have to have a very somewhat loyal fan base at Mississippi State. You have to have the fans completely engaged and on board. You've got to make this a very hostile environment in the friendliest way possible. We don't need people, you know, insulting each other in the stands and things like that. But you've got to make this a great home field advantage for Mississippi State. I think if we do that and we can avoid the big mistake early, I think Mississippi State's got a chance to win this football game. And, you know, my hope is that, you know, we're getting ready for a bowl game this time next week, and we have the golden egg back here in Starkville. And that's a very important aspect of this. And I asked Jeff Levy about that on Monday. You know, you talk about being the same guy every day. What would it mean to you and your group to be able to walk into this building every day and have a golden egg trophy? You could see on his face how much it means to him. And I understand there's no love lost between he and Lane Kiffin. You know, these people are like, oh, they're buddies. They're absolutely not. They're not buddies. That's important to understand. Listen, I wish you guys the best Thanksgiving. I hope you guys have enjoyed our extra coverage this week on the Boneyard and certainly over at jeanspage.com. Again, it's 75% off the annual subscription price. If you hadn't done so, go to dirtynoblebook.com and you can get signed copies of all my sports titles. Of course, that's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, The Dude, and of course, a personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. If you're in recovery or need to be or know someone that is, or you just like a good redemption story, that may be the book for you. Come join us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. It's been an extremely busy week. Again, we have 20 so far today, and there may be some more that schedule. Could be a huge day for Dana, but it's going to give me plenty of time to work and get the rest of these retrospective stories together. And you can find those for free over at jeanspage.com. Again, I'm thankful for all of you, thankful for the life that I lead and your part in it. And I love you all very, very much. And I hope that you have a great Thanksgiving with the people you love the most. And yes, this time of year, it is okay to get that extra piece of cherry cream pie. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.